Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. Author Salman Rushdie is off a ventilator, talking, and still hospitalized with serious injuries 2 days after a stabbing attack as he was preparing to give a lecture in upstate New York. The man accused of the attack has been charged with murder and assault, and he's entered a not guilty plea. Henry Reese, a nonprofit leader who helps provide sanctuary to writers in danger, was on stage next to Rushdie and was wounded in the attack. He described the scene to CNN.
It was very difficult to understand. It looked like a sort of bad prank, and it didn't have any sense of reality. And then when there was blood behind him, it became real.
Rushdie spent several years in hiding and under police protection after Iranian officials declared he should be killed for writing his 1988 novel, The Satanic Verses. His family says he remains in critical condition. In Jerusalem, a shooter opened fire near the Old City, wounding 8 Israelis, 2 of whom are in critical condition. From Jerusalem, Natan Odenheimer reports.
A lone shooter fired at passengers as they were getting on a bus early Sunday. After Israeli security forces conducted extensive searches in East Jerusalem, a suspected attacker, a 26-year-old Palestinian resident of Jerusalem, turned himself into the police with a rifle. One of the critically wounded is a pregnant woman who was forced to go through an emergency delivery. The U.S. ambassador to Israel tweeted that there were American citizens among the wounded. This comes less than a week after the ceasefire agreement between Israel and the Gaza militant group that ended a round of violence. For NPR News, I'm Natan Odenheimer in Jerusalem.
Today marks 10 years since journalist Austin Tice was abducted in Syria. Houston Public Media's Andrew Schneider reports that Tice's parents believe their son is alive, and they're making a fresh push to get the Biden administration to secure his freedom.
Tice's mother, Deborah Tice, says she's never given up hope and that public support has meant a great deal to her and her husband, Mark.
I'm a woman of faith, and so for those that are so inclined, I would ask that they pray for Austin's safe return.
President Biden issued a statement last week calling on the Syrian government to release Tice. Mrs. Tice says she's encouraged by Biden's recent moves, but she's concerned that some members of the administration may be dragging their feet on engaging with Damascus. I'm Andrew Schneider in Houston.
This summer, Ukraine and Russia reached a deal with Turkey to restart Black Sea grain deliveries as parts of the world face famine condition. The deal addresses the profound export disruption created by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Today, a UN-chartered ship loaded with 23,000 metric tons of Ukrainian grain destined for Ethiopia has set sail for a Black Sea port. This is NPR News in Washington. As the Georgia probe continues into possible illegal attempts to influence the last election, former President Trump has hired prominent Atlanta criminal defense attorney Drew Findling, a lawyer best known for representing rap stars. A Chinese survey vessel is expected to dock this week in Sri Lanka. The nation has a strategic location in the Indian Ocean, which the West fears China may try to exploit. NPR's Lauren Freyer reports.
First, China loaned Sri Lanka money to build a big port on its southern coast. China also supplied the workers. The project was billed as being good for Sri Lankan commerce, but it didn't turn out that way. The government defaulted on those loans, and China took over the port. It's an example of what the U.S. has derided as predatory lending. China's critics say such infrastructure could be used by the Chinese military. Now those fears are exacerbated by news that a Chinese ship that surveys satellites, rockets, and missiles is now heading to that same Sri Lankan port. The ship was delayed amid reports of objections from neighboring India. But India denies that, and Sri Lanka's foreign ministry now says the Chinese vessel is cleared to dock on Tuesday. Lauren Freyer, NPR News, Mumbai.
A sad day for lovers of a well-known female walrus in Norway. Authorities there say they've euthanized the walrus known as Freya that had drawn crowds of spectators in the Oslo Fjord, concluding it posed a risk to humans. Officials warned people should refrain from posing for pictures with a massive marine mammal, but crowds still came. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.